Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
I love my husband. He's so awesome. You know, I love that we just sang that song, Break Every Chain, because I just give you a little bit of my testimony. I grew up in a church. I grew up going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. So I was very churched. But it was a church that did not have instrumental music. And so at some point in our life, Randy really got rocked at Promise Keepers, which, you know, we're getting up there now. So that's what was back in the 90s when Promise Keepers was around. And he came home just like, honey, we can't go back to that church that we've been going to because my world has been rocked. It's like, what? That's where our friends are. Blah, blah, blah. So I was crying. And for 5 years, I like said, no, we weren't going to go anywhere. And finally, God got my attention because he said to me, you are not being obedient to me because you're not submissive to your husband. And I was taken aback because I thought I was a very obedient Christian. And so that really hurt my feelings, actually, that God would say that to me. But what that did was it caused us to go to a different church. And at that church, I literally felt chains fall off of me during worship that they had. At that time, it was the contemporary worship style that I'd never really been around before. And so when those chains fell off, then my arms went whoop, you know, and they just stayed up there. So I just walk around all the time. So that's the reason. Yes. So I am very privileged and honored to have been asked to teach on part of this series on HeartWorks. And it's funny, when you're asked to teach, they kind of send a thing out and said, which subjects do you want to teach on? You know, and you kind of got to give your top two or three. And one of mine I chose was on love because, I mean, I love to love. Blah, blah, blah. Of course, like the other pastors have said who have taught, when you choose something and be asked to teach on it, well, then the challenge comes. So, and it's kind of like what Pastor Jim LaFoon was saying, that, you know, when you're in that consecration mode, then confrontation comes. So, honey, I'm really sorry for the last month that I've been studying on love. I've been kind of hard to live with, but so hopefully the celebration will come now and the confrontation will lift a little bit. Well, let's start out reading 2 Peter 1, 3 through 8, which has been our verses that we're going through. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. Virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfast, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, we just thank you that your promises are precious and very great. And that you promise that you send your Holy Spirit to us so that we can be empowered to add all these things to our faith. And so, Lord, I'm just asking, Holy Spirit, that you bring all things to my remembrance tonight. And I pray that we will have hearts that want to be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in reading this scripture, I just kind of thought, as faith is the foundation to building godly character, so love is the crowning pinnacle. So that is we're at the end of the list. And when I looked up the word love, there are over 200 references just in the New Testament to love. And we're going to, no, I'm kidding. We're not going to read them all tonight. So there's no way we could read them all tonight. because there's over 200 references. So, as we like to encourage you to do, be sure to, you guys look them up at home. Use them for your devotionals, like BibleGateway.com. You go on there, type in love, and it'll just spill out all the different verses and learn from there. Of course, there's a source of love. And I think 1 John is one of the best books that tells us that source of love. So we're going to look at 1 John 3, 16 through 18. It says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth." And so right there tells us that, you know, love is an action. We can't just say we love people, but we've got to do something about it. And it also talks about brothers, so we are going to be talking about that brotherly affection or brotherly love tonight. And then 1 John 4, 7, 8 tells us, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not know God, because God is love." So we see that love is from God. There is no other source of love. If you don't really know God, then you really don't know what love is. John 15:9, Jesus tells us this, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." And so Jesus is that conduit for God's love. Father and the Son, they love each other, and Jesus loves us, and then we're in turn supposed to love other people. It just kind of goes down the line like that. And of course, the verse that everybody knows, lots of people know, I should say, I can't say everybody, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." So again, that's Jesus laid down his life for us, and that's an amazing thing. If you keep researching those love verses, we're going to find out that it says the love of God, the Father's love, the love of Christ, Christ's love, the love of the Spirit. So that definitely, love is definitely comes from God, and that's the source. But God's love, it can actually transform our lives, and that's what we want. All this is about being transformed. And so because his love is the source, then that's how we add all the things that we'd studied about, you know, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, all those come from knowing God and knowing his love. So that first thing we were looking at is brotherly affection. And so depending on which version you read in, it can also be lettered as brotherly kindness or brotherly love. It's all kind of the same thing. Now, I'm definitely not a Greek scholar, so this is my best Greek that I can do. That the Greek word, when it's used with brotherly, the brotherly love, that is like what we get our city name Philadelphia from. That Greek is phileo. And it is definitely distinguished from just love. And the reason is that it's connected to the brethren or believers. And so if you are a believer in Christ, then you're considered the brethren or brothers and sisters, depending on what version you're reading. And so we see that this is a word that often, when the scriptures say love one another, the writers are really encouraging us as Christians to love each other. Romans 12:10 says, "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." Can you imagine what would happen if we were always trying to outdo each other? Honoring each other. And even, you know, I really realized that was one thing that when we went to a community church after we left the original church that we were at for a long time, at that community church, there were just, I kept meeting people from all different denominations, and I had never been around other denominations before. I lived in a little bubble. And so when we started getting out, I was just like, oh my goodness, these people all love Jesus the same as me. It was like, wow, I couldn't believe it. And so it was amazing to really start honoring one another and just realizing we're all on the same team. So it was awesome. I got to go to India this past summer on a 10-day missions trip. Totally fell in love with India. And I was in a store. I actually ended up doing a lot of shopping somehow. I just like the time, like, oh, I guess I need to go shopping again. But you meet people while you're shopping. So I was in this one shop buying Randy and the boys some stuff. It was a men's clothing store. And I noticed that, you know, they had some religious symbols in there. And the guy kind of asked me, you know, what I was doing. And I was telling him that, you know, we were there helping to a church celebrate their anniversary there. And he's like, oh, well, I'm Catholic. And I said, we're on the same team then. And he was like, you know, if you're in India, you're definitely on the same team. If Catholics and Protestants are, as opposed to Hindus, you know, you're on the same team. And he was kind of like, really? Oh, okay, great. I didn't know that. So, yes, we're on the same team. So we want to make sure that we're following those scriptures, that all these scriptures about brotherly affection and brotherly love, it's what God's calling Christians to feel towards other Christians. And so let's make sure that we're doing that. But, of course, love doesn't stop there. We're not just supposed to love other Christians. We're supposed to love everybody. Now, Jesus, he used actually a different word most of the time. When he talked about love, he used that word that we call agape. And so that word is mostly used as a verb because he's most of the time commanding people to love God, to love him, to love our neighbors, and actually even to love our enemies. And so that was a big thing. When Jesus said, love your enemies, people were very shocked that he would say that. And so we need to remember that that's what Jesus is calling us to. Even the people that we don't necessarily feel like our values are lined up with each other, or they're just different than us, you know, we're called to love them. And we're going to look at what love really is in just a few minutes. Now, I'm kind of a grammar nerd, so I loved it when my kids were taking English and we got to diagram the sentences and all that. So I don't know why, but that's one of the things I love to do. So I've also discovered that love, the word love, is not just a verb, but it's also a noun. So as we know, a noun is a person, place, or thing. And so sometimes in Scripture, love is used as a thing. And it, you know, words like freedom, belief, trust, those are all nouns as well. But, you know, it's not a tangible thing, but it is still something. And so often, Paul especially, he uses love just talking about love. So you will see where it says the love or love is this. In 1 Corinthians 8:1, we see that love builds up. And in 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says pursue love. And in Galatians 5:22, of course, love is a fruit of the Spirit. And so all of those things are important. But, of course, the most familiar passage of love is 1 Corinthians 13. And so we're going to work through this tonight. One of my favorite places to teach, actually, here is at Experiencing Spiritual Freedom. Who's been through ESF before? All right, great. Well, you know, in ESF, if you haven't been through it, if you're a member of Bethel, then we encourage you to go through it. And it's really, it's a time where we take the Scripture and we use it to examine our own lives and see areas where there can be spiritual bondage. Sometimes there's faulty teaching. And it really brings freedom to you when you go through that. And so it's been such a great thing. I love going through ESF. Every time I go through it, take other people through it, I get set free from something. So it's a constant. We're always in a constant need for being set free. So as we work through this verse, I really want you guys to find some freedom tonight. And so first we're going to read 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Now we're going to take each of these little attributes of love, and as I said, I want you to just really let the Holy Spirit work on your heart and your mind. And if somebody, as we're talking about each of these things, you might think of somebody that you've not shown love to in this way, and maybe you need to ask for forgiveness. Or maybe there's somebody that has done something to you, but you need to just forgive them and just let it go and not hold on to it. Because when you withhold unforgiveness, it really just eats at you and doesn't do anything for the other person at all. So let's look at these. So the first one is love is patient. Now, I confess that this is something that I have long tried to acquire. And it's kind of funny, when our kids were little, we have three sons, and they're 24, 21, and 18. And the oldest one's married, and we have a little grandbaby, so that's awesome. And then our middle son is at MTSU in college, and then our youngest son is 18, and he's still around here, and he is out of high school, but he works full-time. Well, when I just had the two boys, I really thought that I needed patience, and I was constantly praying for patience. God, please give me patience to deal with these boys. Well, guess what? I got pregnant again, and that third one, oh my word. I mean, we tell stories on him all the time. If you want to hear some stories, come to our parenting class. Because he was just something else. I mean, he's like a totally transformed person. If you know Sean McCoy now, you would never guess what a horrible child he was. I mean, he was hard. So it was just something. But you know what I figured out? When I watched that movie, Evan Almighty, I figured out what the problem was. Okay, remember in Evan Almighty, Evan is building the boat because he thinks, you know, it's kind of like Noah, and God's told him to build a big ark, and he's building it. His wife thinks he's crazy. His kids think he's crazy, and the wife and the kids leave the house. And they go to the, and they end up at this restaurant. And so they're eating, and at this restaurant, this gentleman who's supposed to be the waiter comes, and of course he's really God. It's Morgan Freeman. And he comes and he says this to the wife, because she's kind of complaining about her husband. He says, "Let me ask you something. If someone prays for patience, do you think God gives them patience, or does he give them the opportunity to be patient?" So when I saw that movie, I was like, that's it. That's what happened. God gave me the opportunity to be patient when that little Sean came along. So be careful praying for patience. That's all I got to say. All right. But every time we do have patience, we have the opportunity to show patience. What we're really, God's giving us is the opportunity to show love. And so we need to remember that. The next one is love is kind. Kindness is also a fruit of the Spirit, and being kind has to do with doing good in a gentle way. God is kind. I love this verse. And this verse, actually, Romans 2:4, it really helped me in disciplining my children and being kind about it and kind in the way I treated them. Romans 2:4 says, "Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" So I always thought of that when my kids were making me crazy, when they weren't doing what they wanted, what I wanted them to do. I always remembered, okay, if God's kindness leads me to repentance, then my kindness is going to lead my children's to repentance more than yelling at them and whipping them and, you know, whatever, putting them in timeout all the time. So, again, just keep thinking, okay, God, who have I not been kind to? Who do I need to ask for forgiveness on that? Who have I not been patient with lately? Next it says, love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. All of those points are about that love is an attitude of humility. And one verse that really impacted my life was, I'm pretty sure it's Philippians 2:3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Think not of your own interests, but also the interests of others. And so if we're really showing love, then we're thinking about other people. We're not just thinking it's all about me. And then, you know, this verse talks about being rude. There are so many rude people these days. You go to the store, go into a restaurant. I bet you see lots of rude people at the restaurant, don't you, Anthony? You know, we are ambassadors for Christ. That's what the Bible tells us. And so I get convicted by this when I really stop and think about it, that what the way I act and the way people see me act, that's the way they're going to perceive Christ, because I'm an ambassador. When you're an ambassador, you're a representative of a country or a person. And so that means that we've got to be very careful about how we act. Are we being rude? You know, which kind of goes back to, are we just being impatient? I did this study with some women last year. It was this book, and it's called What's It Like Being Married to Me? Wow. It was a very convicting book, and because it totally makes you examine yourself. You can't blame your spouse. You just got to look at yourself. This whole book is about looking at yourself to see how you can change. I see some of my little pupils over there. And so we did this little exercise that was called the complaining bracelet. So, and actually this there had been a pastor that had his whole church do this. So you put a bracelet on your wrist, and every time you caught yourself grumbling or complaining, you had to take the bracelet and switch it to the other wrist. And I won't point at her. I'm sorry. She was like, my wrist got worn, like, got raw from pulling that thing off and putting it on the other wrist. But, you know, it made you stop and think, what am I complaining about? And after a while, you see a pattern happening. And for me, one of the things was I noticed that I grumbled and complained most when I was in my car. And so I started thinking, why am I, you know, grumbling and complaining in my car? Because it's like, oh, those people are so slow. They need to just get out of the way. I'm trying to get somewhere. Well, what I discovered was I had been piddling back when I knew I was supposed to be leaving. I was piddling around and just doing one more thing. And so that's what caused me to be late. Randy's like, oh, I'm so glad she figured that out. He's smiling. But it was like, it was my own fault. It wasn't the people being bad drivers or whatever. It was me. And so I, you know, just had to think about that. And that's one of those things that God just brings that to your mind in big, you know, light bulb moment in the car, the big light shining in your car. Whoa, it's you. So, all right, so we want to be sure that we don't envy, boast, aren't arrogant, rude, or insist on our own way if we're really showing love. All righty, the next one says, oh, this one's hard too. Shoot. Is not irritable or resentful. I can be very irritable. Now, not to you all. I'm always nice to everybody out in public. I know. But Randy knows I'm irritable. So my kids know I can be irritable. So if we really love, if we're allowing God's love to transform us, then we're not going to be irritable or resentful. And one of the things is that when we are daily in God's word, when I know when I'm daily in God's word, when I'm spending time with him in prayer, when I'm worshiping him, not just here, but at home, in my car, then I'm so much less resentful and irritable, because God's, the power of his love and his presence, it permeates us, and then all that other stuff just melts away. So again, I just want to encourage you, just be in prayer, be in the Word. Randy and I really love the little U-verse app on our phones, and we turn those things on all the time in the morning, except it makes me go back to sleep, and then I wake up late. But anyway, I'm permeating myself with the Word of God. It's great. All right. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Now, some versions say that keeps no record of wrong. And I especially love that because when Randy and I were doing our premarriage counseling 29 years ago, our minister encouraged us not to be historical. So, you know, people can get hysterical, but not be historical. And what he meant was, when you guys get in a fight, don't think of every single thing that's gone wrong that your husband or wife has done that you didn't like and start reading the list every time. So don't get historical. Don't bring up the past. Don't keep bringing that up. You know, when God forgives us, the Word of God tells us that as far as the east is from the west, that's how much he forgives. And how often he forgives us. And I did not realize this. I'll give Watson Kassan the credit. How Watson explained that to me is, you know, if you think about a globe, when you go north to south, like if you're going north, at some point you're going to start going south because that's, you know, just the direction. When you go east, you're always going east. You're never going to change directions. If you're going east, you're always going east. If you were going to go west, you would always be going west. So actually, east and west, really, there's no point where you change and go the other way. So now think about that in that verse. So if God forgets your sin as far as the east is from the west, that means there's no point in time where he stops and says, don't you remember this and that and that and that? So isn't that amazing? God is just so amazing. I'm so thankful that he does not remember my sins because they are many and great, but they're gone now. So those ones in the past, right? So we want to make sure that we're not keeping record of wrongs for the people that we love, or even people that we don't know that well. You know, today's in society, in the news, there are so many things that people, like, they're not getting over anything because they keep bringing up this and this and this. We have to love each other. We have to work with each other. We have to be willing to accept the differences. You know, I like green tea. You might like coffee. So what, you know? I like to dance and jump around and really worship hard. If somebody likes to just stand there and be quiet, that's okay. It's not wrong. It's just different. So we just need to remember that God made us all different. Not one of us in this room look exactly the same. Now, we may have, you know, even in families, when you have kids, your kids don't look exactly the same. You don't look exactly the same as your siblings. There's similarities there, but nobody is exactly the same, and that's okay. That's the way God made us. So we need to make sure that we really are okay with that, and we're rejoicing in those differences. That kind of runs into love bears all things. Now, I did look up that word bears, and one definition I found was, to accept something painful or unpleasant with determination and strength. Is there something unpleasant to you about somebody else? Somebody you know and love, or somebody that you don't know and love? Is someone you love forgetful? Or do they do things differently than you and it just drives you crazy? Well, God says that we need to bear one another in love. And so even if it's something that's difficult, we need to be okay with it and just accept that. Also, the word says that love believes all things and hopes all things. And, you know, the world is full of evil, and evil things happen. That is a given. Until Jesus comes back, that is a given. But we have Jesus, and the Bible gives us such hope. I love Romans 5, 7, 8. It gives us so much hope. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Just as God's love compelled Jesus to die for us, his love must infuse us so that we can believe in God and have the hope of eternal life. That's what really makes a difference. And finally, love endures all things and love never ends. Romans 8:35 through 39, it really just preaches it best. Here's what it says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is great news. That is such good news that we cannot be separated from the love of God. We have Jesus Christ. He's paid the price. He's taken on God's wrath upon himself for our sins. And so now we can have God's love and we can show God's love to other people. Alrighty, so now the conclusion is have you taken that first step to having God's love? If you've never accepted Jesus, then I would just implore you tonight to realize that Jesus died for you. He died for your sins. He loves you very much, and he wants you to accept him as his Lord and Savior. And if you haven't done that, it's so easy, and you can do that tonight, and there's people that can help you and study with you. So let's stand up now, and I'm just going to pray, As I'm praying, I do want you, the people who the Holy Spirit's brought to mind, that you either need to forgive or you need to ask for forgiveness. I hope you'll allow the Holy Spirit to really work on your heart and mind as we pray. God, we love you so much. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you loved us so much that you gave Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. God, tonight, if there's someone here that's never accepted you as Jesus as Lord and Savior, I pray that they will. And if you haven't, just you can raise your hand and you can just pray this prayer that, Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize that you died for me, and I thank you for that, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And God, we also just want to ask for forgiveness, God, for not loving people the way you want us to love people. We ask you to remind us of people that we have not been patient with or kind to. God, remind us of those that we have been envious of, times we've been boastful and arrogant and rude. God, forgive us of those times. God, forgive us for insisting on our own way, being irritable and resentful. God, forgive us for keeping a record of wrong and not rejoicing in the truth. God, forgive us for not bearing all things, believing all things, hoping all things, and enduring all things. But God, most of all, thank you that your love never ends. God, go with us, and I pray that as we search your scriptures more and more, that they will transform our lives and that we will be true ambassadors of yours and that we will truly be like Jesus. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. I learned from really good people.
I was just telling her she did a great job. Anybody convicted? I was convicted. Can you think of anybody that you need to kind of maybe have a better attitude towards and love a little bit more? And who's going to actually go and apologize to somebody? Huh? Raise your hand up. If you're going to, okay, good. I'm going to go apologize to somebody. Guess who? My wife. That was great. Listen, next week, Margot will be finishing out the series. And then, of course, we'll have the Christmas Eve service the week after that, then the New Year's Eve service. Then we'll roll into the first week of January. That's our week of annual fasting and prayer. So we'll be having a whole bunch of prayer meetings going on here throughout that week. Make sure, pay attention to that. All of that's coming up. And then we'll do something special in the month of January. On Wednesday nights, we'll tell you about that as we get closer. And then most likely in February, we're going to kick off a new series out of the book of 2 Corinthians. We'll be taking a chapter per week as we gather together. God bless you. If you need prayer for anything, make sure to talk to somebody either you know or come down front. We'd love to pray for you. Have a great rest of the week.